Talkers. Welcome to episode 29 of Omaha Talks. This is the last of the 20s. Your co-host Parker Steele here with co-host
Brandon Herbal.
And today we're hanging out with, film creator, visual content creator, editor, DJ Hornacek. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Father, musician.
So DJ's on the show today because we are working together to produce some video content. Now, this happened because Brandon, DJ, you guys met each other
many moons ago.
Is that through a music thing?
You know, I was trying to think about it. I don't remember exactly the first time I met him, but going back to the Josh Fu episode, I used to live in this apartment in the old market with my friend Ryan Showers. And he was in a band called Bart of the Trigger, and that DJ was in.
That's right.
And, yeah, I spent countless nights, summers, just, yeah, a couple, two or three years just hanging out with DJ and the crew.
Cool.
For some reason, I always remember Brandon and that apartment is him sitting on a Mac on the floor doing, like,
Band merch
t-shirts and
stuff. I didn't even have a desk. Yeah. I had a iMac, like a the Mac Pro Tower that I had from college. No desk, literally sitting in carpet. And I would just sit there like Indian style, just like designing t-shirts. Look at us now.
But I believe that 100%. So you've done music. When did when did visual stuff come into the play?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. I started doing this only like 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And I don't know how much time we got, but it's
as
kind
much
of
as
this,
we want.
This
go
whole,
for it.
It's kind of my whole journey of my life up until
let's do it.
Here.
Shoot.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Shoot.
Like, you know, I was doing the music thing. I don't know, I could even go back. I like to talk about like how high school sucked for me and like I had no vision. I wasn't good at school. The only thing I was good at was like woods class and art.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like failing all my other classes all the time.
Yeah.
And of course,
sounds
you're failing
exactly
those.
Like me.
Yeah. Like, well, now you can't do the classes you're good at because you got to pass the classes you suck at.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Okay. I hate my life. I hate school. What the heck, man? So then I met a bunch. Well, my brother and neighbor Jeff, they started a band called Point Blank, actually without me, and they had some. I had played like bass guitar for like 2 years, maybe even 2 years before that, because my older brother played, and he gave me his old bass. So I was just like, all right, give me something to do when I'm not doing my homework, you know?
Right. Which was probably most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, probably picked up the bass pretty quick.
That's right. Yeah. So I was doing that, and then Point Blank started. My brother, his friends, they're all like 2 years younger than me, and they were doing their thing. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you ask me to play, man?
Yeah.
My brother, why would I do
you
that?
You got everything but the bass.
Yeah, exactly. So then they found some random friend of theirs that never played bass. They're just like, here, you play.
Oh,
you know, and he's like, fail.
I can see in the doorway just like, what the...
So anyway, he obviously didn't have a passion for it. You know, he just ended up quitting.
Did they practice at your house?
That time, I think they practiced next door.
Oh, okay.
But, and I didn't really care. I'm like not hanging out with my younger brother's friends, you know, whatever. But it eventually, he had left the band, and then I joined, and we kind of took off a little bit in the Omaha scene. You know, we changed our name to Bart of the Trigger. We actually kicked my brother out. He was the singer at the time. Kicked him out because he wasn't progressing like everybody else, is what we told him. And
really was to get back at him for not.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What kind of emotions did you experience during that firing?
We handled it well. We told him like.
I mean, it sounds like
we're trying to move forward. You're not really doing it. You're not your writing style and your voice and all that stuff, and isn't moving as as much as we hoped. So we found this dude, Ryan, and we loved his voice and his style. So we're like, man, his stage presence, all that stuff.
Where did you guys meet him, though? I never know. Like, so I knew Darcy through MySpace. I just moved here, and I knew like 3 or 4 people, and she was one of them because I met her at a show.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I got this friend, Ryan, that needs a place to live. And I was like, well, I need a roommate. I need some extra money to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. So
how many years later is it now? He's still looking for places to live?
Yeah. No, yeah, like over a decade.
Was this a taller, skinny guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looked like a cartoon anime pirate or something.
I can't believe I remember that, dude. I saw your band one time, but I had just moved to Omaha, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you were playing with somebody. Anyway, it's your story. Let the narrative continue.
But yeah, I just wonder where you guys had met him, because I didn't really know the backstory.
Well, we played a show, because he's from Iowa, and then we played a show with Josh Fu's band.
Okay.
I can't remember what they're called.
I didn't know Josh Fu had a band.
Oh, yeah. He was in a punk rock band.
Oh.
He's in a few bands, even recently.
Back then.
Huh. I didn't know that.
He's a great musician.
Jesus, Josh Fu.
He's a
great he's a everything, force. Man. I know.
So
Ryan guest like sang on one of their songs or something.
And we blew you guys
and
away.
We were there at the show playing, I think, with them that night. And we were like, we gotta get this guy in. You know, he doesn't have a band right now, so we were like,
yeah.
Come join us, you know?
Cool.
Which I probably why he came to Omaha. I don't know, really, but
yeah, and I guess I never knew that backstory, even though I lived with him for like 3 years. Yeah. And yeah,
well, you were working a lot.
Yeah,
you were busy.
We kind of didn't know that much about Ryan. But anyway, yeah, so he joined the band, and then we started, you know, snowballing. We re-recorded, you know, made merch, all that kind of stuff, and hung out and played shows as much as possible.
I had a pretty big following back in the day, though. You guys were pretty big here in Omaha. Yeah.
Touring.
That was fun. We did go on one tour that was kind of a fail. We set it up with a local guy in town that he was supposed to manage a lot of the shows. Oh, we set them all up, and a lot of them ended up not working out. Nobody was there. Nobody promoted.
Yeah.
One time, the one venue was closed, which is kind of weird. But yeah, we were like, this was before we had computers, and I think we had like a flip phone.
You got a MapQuest, the tour.
Yep, we printed
out on like 30 pages.
Exactly. Yeah, we had a binder with all the maps and all this stuff on it.
The one MapQuest tour I went on, that stapled packet of 9 pages of paper was sacred. Yep. I mean, there was all manner of fluids all over that van. Yep. Lunch meat, whatever, you know, but those papers were sacred.
Laminated.
I'm always like, you know, I don't want to feel old or like kids have it so easy, you know, like now it's crazy.
No, but they do.
It's like, my phone, cool.
Yeah.
I can record my whole band on this thing.
Yeah.
And then just,
you can't get lost. You can't get lost in the 21st century.
Heck no, dude.
You know, it's out there.
Yep.
So how long did you guys, rock it out? Rock it out.
I
sound like your uncle right now. So how long have you guys been rocking it out?
19 odd six. I don't remember how long when we got done. I think that tour was in 2005, and it was kind of the end of the kind of, we started dying out
because
a couple of the guys were doing other things, and then we tried out other guys. I mean, I think we had like
there was three a
different
mixture,
guitarists
like,
and couple different drummers, and you know, at some
Alex
point.
And Kyle,
and then we had Kate and
and
Melissa and Rachel. They actually, those
April and Anna Lucia,
that's right. They played music with us too, and they were like cello, keyboard, and singing.
Oh,
yeah,
got a little softer.
That's right,
yeah.
And she actually, we had the celloist Kate, she actually like joined and was on like 4 or 5 of the songs and went on some shows with us.
Nice. Yeah. I'm always impressed when I see people playing like string instruments like that on stage, because they're super delicate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like breaking strings, like
I
don't know anything about it, but I would imagine that replacing a string on a cello might take a little more time, you know, than a guitar.
Yeah, the singer rambling for 5 minutes.
Yeah, telling knock knock jokes, like.
You don't have a couple of them.
Right.
Because they're terribly expensive.
Terribly expensive, and it's not like you're plugged into a tuning pedal.
Right.
I mean, maybe they make them. I guess if it's electric, they could, but I don't know that I know much about... I mean, it just seems like that would be a real bitch. So, any string players out there, your level of control, that is amazing. Because guitar strings are... I mean, you could choke somebody out with a guitar string. Mm-hmm. Breaks on stage all the time, you know? Yep. And you're just using, so, I don't know, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Really? And when you see them just like shredding on that thing and they've got the horsehair, it's just like whipping around. And the I'm into this. And like the movements on that, it's fretless. It's so delicate. Yeah. Like, it's crazy to me.
It was fretless. It both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Which I'm like, how do you play that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I play bass with four strings, you know, but it's frets and all that. But a cello, you know, you sit in front of a cello. How the heck?
Yeah.
You know, even an upright bass, you know, you're like,
you know,
where are the notes again?
You know, it's so weird when you see, like, tinier people playing upright basses. And I'm like, good God, how do you do
that's right.
That's a giant instrument. Like, not just propping it up while you play it, but you had to, like, haul that fucker to the gig, you know? I'm thinking of a specific instance. We played with this rockabilly band, and... long time ago. I don't know how this happened. And they were a three-piece. I don't even remember the name. But their upright bass player was a small... He was a small guy. You know, he was probably like 5'3", 5'4".
Yeah, probably. Gabe? That's what he was itty-bitty. Gabe,
he was itty-bitty. But he made it work. Yeah, anyway. Small, so bar the trigger. You got some string players. You embrace your...
that's right.
Embrace some melodies.
Yeah, some classic. Yeah. I mean, as much as that music led, we were like a screamo, whatever, rock and roll, hardcore mix of random stuff.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was awesome, but though. Those were some of the best times of my life. It was awesome. Like, just going to Ranch Bowl. It was when Ranch Bowl was still around.
Yep.
Like,
wow. We played there, yeah.
Ryan just hanging from the rafters and, like, screaming in people's
face. Yeah, I remember that dude being wild. Maybe that's why I remember that show, because he was wild.
Yeah,
wild
he tore his ACL or something.
Oh really?
One show, jumping off a speaker or something, or the bass drum. He would jump off that.
Did you? You played that show at Brothers a few months ago for Justin?
No, I wasn't there. Yeah, okay. I was out of town. I wish I would have been.
You guys should get back together. We're all pushing 40, and like
that's right.
Everyone's coming back, hanging out.
I think Alex, he always wants to. I think it was probably a couple of years ago where those guys were like, do you guys want to play together? And we actually got together with Kyle and Jeff and Alex and Ryan, I think. Yeah. And like, we're in my basement, like,
rocking it,
seeing if it would work or whatever, just to see, whatever.
Yeah.
And evidently it didn't.
Of course we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, when are we going to get together and do this, you know? But yeah.
Brandon, hit your space bar, would you please? Sorry. That screensaver is really distracting. Yeah,
sorry. I'll edit. We'll edit that.
But yeah, so we did that, the tour, you know, and all. And we just, you know, disbanded after that point.
Yep.
You know, it was fun while it lasted. Everybody went on with their lives, joined the Navy, joined the Air Force, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, so I just went on my own thing, just went and got jobs wherever I could. I think at that point I was working at Whole Foods, and actually with a bunch of other guys that were in bands too, and Sharon and Josh and Jeff. Kyle worked there, bro.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, so
Ryan,
literally
everyone.
Yeah, everyone that we were just talking about all went to Whole Foods afterwards.
Yeah, it was like Wild Oats and Whole Foods.
Wild Oats.
Funny,
do you remember Wild Oats?
Sure do.
Yeah,
no, sure do.
Yeah. But then, yeah, I went over to there, helped open the store, worked there for like 5 years. And that's still didn't know what I was going to do, you know.
I was like,
well, the band stuff's done. We're not doing that anymore. What can, you know, like. So then I had this opportunity to go out to California with my younger brother, because my older brother lives out in California. And he was working, well, he was helping at this church. And he had asked us if we wanted to come there for this leadership type internship thing for the summer. And we're like, sure, why not? Yeah. My roommate was going to, Jeff, he was going to the Navy. And
That's right. You guys live together.
Yeah, we live together. Yeah. And then we're like, okay, there's nothing to do, right? So let's just go.
Where in California was this?
Northern California.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sweet.
It was in Lincoln, California.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny because Lincoln, right. Nebraska. But,
And why wouldn't you go?
Right.
You're like what, 23, 22?
Yeah, that would have been 10 years ago, probably. So, yeah, 25.
Hey, you want to come to Northern California? And
yep.
Yes.
Sure.
But where were you at were you into this seminar or whatever it was? Like, were you like, yeah, I'm going to go check this thing out?
Yeah, you know, I grew up Christian and in the church and helping out and all that stuff. So this was kind of, you know, a step into leadership.
Okay.
Maybe see what the church thing offered.
So you were being instructed. You weren't like instructing. Okay.
Right. Yeah,
I was kind of confused. Yeah, I didn't know if you were like helping him. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
They started a new church out there and they wanted this intern program for leaders. So at that point, you know, they had asked us if we'd be like the test group or whatever.
Yeah.
So we went out there and it was only like 3 months. And it was cool.
I like that your older brother was like, I know two people that should try this out.
We got two guys that have no life.
Yeah.
No family, no friends. Like, working at dumb jobs. All right. Yeah. He'll come out for sure.
Yep.
I didn't think about that. That's funny. But, because he's like, I got a family and all that. I can't do it. But
right.
So we did that. We went out there, just took my truck, loaded it up, and drove out. And stayed there for like 3 months. My younger brother, he stayed there.
Yeah.
And I came back and met my wife. Started working as a janitor at a church that I grew up in here, because they were just looking for a janitor or whatever. And I'm like, all right.
I had to be a fairly.
Didn't Jeff do that too? Yeah.
Jeff did. Yeah.
Took your job
to Josh.
Actually, it's a circuit.
Josh and Alex both did the same thing.
No, seriously, these same group of people we have not left each other's side. No,
that seems like it would be a pretty sweet gig because it's not like churches get too dirty.
Yeah, I mean it's a very large church. It's Christ Community Church in Omaha. It's like the
bigger one by West Side.
That's right.
West Roads Mall, not far from here.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a facility.
It's huge. It's 250,000 square feet, 3 buildings, and a huge lot, and all stuff. But
see, you're moving.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I came back to Omaha just to do that because I didn't have anything else happening out there.
Mm.
My brother stayed out there because he joined the Air Force.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I guess I'll go back to Omaha. These guys have a job for me. Nothing's coming up here. So, and I still don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I came back. Was a janitor here. For a couple years. I have a background in remodeling. I've always done it for, you know, remodeling houses, fixing up stuff.
Like interior stuff?
Yeah, interior. Yeah. I did it on the side a bunch. You know, while I was working at Whole Foods, I would, you know, go to work in the morning at 5 a.m., get done at 1, go remodel somebody's bathroom until 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and then go back to work the next day.
Nice.
And then play music sometimes in between. So.
Did you learn that stuff from your old man?
No, I didn't. I actually just taught myself.
Really?
Yeah, and then I worked, like, right after high school, I had a couple jobs, a couple months here and there where I worked with some remodel job. One was Kyle's dad. He built his desk.
Damn. Should probably get Kyle in here.
So funny, man.
Yeah, you know, like, I thought I was pretty handy until I bought a house.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, not that handy. Oh, you know, I mean, I can do stuff, but... Yeah. I have this like big brick patio that I talked about digging up, and I started doing it, and I was like, oh no, I should definitely pay somebody to do this. This is not a good idea at all. No, you know? Yeah. So that's why I always ask. I'm always impressed. Like you say, you tie yourself.
Yep.
That blows my mind. Cause I mean, I'm like YouTube videos and like reading articles I don't have a knack for it, mm-hmm. but anyway, but,
you know, come, in high school, I got the kind of the fundamentals and stuff like that, but
you did say you were like that's one of the thing in school that you were at, so yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense.
But for some reason, I never took on that life. I never liked the industry that much, the construction world, you know,
it's rough, man.
It is rough. Yeah. And it's not like, it's not terribly creative unless you're the creator of the, you know, space.
And there's one guy for every 200 in that scenario. Yep,
exactly.
I know, you're
just a laborer.
Exactly. You're just a laborer. That, and there's nothing wrong with that work at all. Nope. It's hard work, and it does take talent. Yep. But if you're somebody that needs, like, you know, I don't know. I've done some construction work, mm-hmm. and it's gratifying in the sense that you can see what you've done all day, and it is hard work, and you go home tired, and you wake up super early and start, like, that stuff's cool.
Yep.
But then, like, you're kind of like, well, I kind of wanted to, you know, communicate with other human beings, mm-hmm. or maybe even make a decision, you know, like, for myself, exactly. you know, like, but
it's not the same thing, but, like, screen printing, I mean, it's super manual labor, and I felt like really gratifying. You know, it was really gratifying at the end of the day, but, you know, at a point, mm-hmm. like, it's just like, well, I don't know if it's the same, but it was very monotonous. Like, just doing the same thing, same movements, same thing every day over and over and over.
I know. I see these guys, and I do have respect for them, guys that work for the city or whatever, or even on construction crews, and it's, you know, 110 degrees outside, whatever, mm-hmm. and they're wearing jeans and helmets and shit. And then you see the foreman guy, and he's got, like, a limp because his knees are just completely shot to shit. Yeah. It's like, good God, you know, like, that is serious, man.
Yeah.
That is serious. And anybody, and I don't know that I've ever heard this before, but, like, kind of frowning on that kind of stuff, I'm like, you have no idea what these guys do, you know?
It's hard
stuff, crazy. Man. That's my little construction rant. Yeah. So anyway, so, when does a camera come into your life?
Right, yeah.
It
30 years had led up to it, so that's why I have all this backstory, you know.
So there wasn't, but, like, when you were a kid, you didn't, like, play cameras?
My neighbor, his dad had a camcorder, you know, the big old thing you put the tape in, you know, the big VHS tape inside. And we would mess around with it, you know, film ourselves doing whatever, which I have no idea. Wrestling. Yeah, basically, yeah. So I don't even know where that stuff went, but we never edited it, cut it up. We just did it because we thought it was fun, you know, messing with a piece of equipment.
Right.
And so other than that, I really didn't have a background in the video stuff.
Right.
I was interested, but never knew how to use a camera. I never messed with anything growing up.
Right.
Besides that, you know, push record and that's it, you know.
To be fair, in that, like, our kind of era of, like, the VHS, it was easy to like make a one shot movie, but you had to have a console to edit anything on VHS.
Right.
Whereas our previous generation, who shot home movies on, like, 16 millimeters or whatever, they could straight up splice film literally in their basement.
It. Yep.
And so, like, that's why I always like to ask people that do visual stuff, you know, because so often it's like, oh, I had a camera, you know, like, I made movies at home. But I feel like people our age, that's not the case, because you literally had to have an editing console to do VHS, you know?
Exactly.
God, I remember in eighth grade, I had a class, it was like a drama class, and we all checked out, or she gave us camcorders, and she's like, yeah, go write a script for a movie and make a movie. And we were like, what the fuck? You screw up on a scene, and you got to just rewind and delete the whole thing. It was terrible.
Right.
So anyway, DJ, sorry. Just throw that out there. It's true, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the editing capabilities were just nil for our generation.
I didn't even know it existed.
Right.
You know, you have to go to a school.
Right, right.
You have to know that was something you could have done.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, after thinking through my past and all these jobs that I've had and all this weird fields that I've worked in.
Yeah.
The one thing that I want to express to my kids and let them know is that there's opportunity,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, look for opportunities, and then also have me as their dad help them to see opportunity and find opportunity, because that didn't happen for me.
Sure.
Like, even in school, well, yeah, you take art because it's cool or whatever, mm-hmm. and you're kind of good at it, but I didn't know that you could ever do anything with art back then.
Right.
I didn't know you could do anything with making cabinets.
Right.
You know, besides maybe framing a house or, you know,
or working making cabinets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know. I don't even know if those big box stores were around back then. But just not even knowing, just being oblivious to that stuff, which is, right. I think, why my whole path, because I hated school and I wasn't very good at that because it wasn't my learning style.
Mm-hmm.
This whole, I feel like I had this huge gap of I just trying a million different things over and over. I got work pizza place, work at a paper boy, work at a Kmart, work at, you know, as a janitor and all that stuff. And I had no ambition. I didn't know any of that stuff. So it wasn't until back to working at the church as a janitor. I met my wife. I was playing with the worship band and one of the groups, the college group, and her brother was the intern at the time doing that, and he had me play bass and she came and sang, and then that's where I met my wife. But so then as we started dating and I was kind of like, man, I think I want to marry her, I started getting this like, but I'm just a janitor.
Right.
Like, I'm just a janitor. I'm literally cleaning up crap.
Yeah.
For other people. You know, like, and shout out to janitors out there. They don't get enough money and they don't get respect. Yeah. You know, like, but
definitely a pretty reasonable chip to have on your shoulder.
Right. You know what I mean? You know, like, so I'm like, yeah, I don't have an education, you know, besides high school. You know, I played in music. Like, what the heck, man? Mm-hmm. So, but I've always had this, I don't know, something in me that's always, I'm always like finding things that are like not wrong with places, but like that maybe need to be fixed. Yeah. Right. So as I'm the janitor, I'm going through this huge building. I'm noticing, why isn't this stuff getting fixed quicker? When, you know, listening to other people, they're talking about how it's, you know, not working and things aren't getting done as fast. And I'm like, nobody does that here.
Mm-hmm.
There's one dude that's the manager of that section. I was like, nobody does that. So then I got a little point-and-shoot camera that I think my wife had, and I went around the building, and I took pictures of all this stuff, and I made this big, huge portfolio of all the things that I'm like, I think I could fix all this stuff, or at least find somebody to do it if I can't handle it, and I can be a big part in this. You pay me full-time job, I'll come and do that for you.
Okay.
I pitched it to the leadership, and they're like, sweet. That'd be awesome. Let's do it, you know?
So you kind of cashed a check the first time you made movies, or made pictures.
Right, yeah.
you were in. Yeah. You're like, I mean, boom. They were just
stupid pictures of, like, you know,
Dave,
you know, broken stuff at the building. But I'm like, dude, like, that was my first time that I had any ambition and any, like, oh, I can pitch something to older people that are, like, in leadership and not be, like, scared of them or whatever.
Right.
Like, this confidence or whatever that I got from I always think of that. I've got a lot of confidence from being in the band. I mean, you're up there on stage. I went from having no self-esteem, hating my life, to, you know, being in a band where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of good at something. And people actually like me or think, you know, I'm cool or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, was snowballing my whole life up until that point where I pitched this job to these people. When I never have done that before.
Right.
And I'm like, sweet, it worked.
You know,
crazy.
It's interesting that it's so funny that we hear that story so many times. And that's, I feel like that's kind of Brandon and my story.
I tried to go to college twice.
And I didn't go until I was 30.
Right.
And it was to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I had the same deal. And I hear this from so many creative types, like classrooms did not work for people like us.
They don't.
I mean, even as an adult being in a college setting, it's just like, right. Like this isn't learning. But I just think that's it's so noteworthy and people should pay attention to that, you know.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You take creative types or people who like are not interested in math. You know, it's right, not even, yeah. It's not even a question of like ability. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I do not care. There is nothing outside of this classroom that is motivating me. Yep. Like, I'm not awake at night being like, if I don't learn that equation, I'm going to be a loser for the rest of my life. Right. You know, like, I mean, maybe a little bit of that, but not really. Not for me. I couldn't care less. I don't want to get in trouble. That's yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to catch shit.
Yep.
Well, and I think when you were talking about, like, talking to them and giving those pictures, that you finally realize that just, like, doing it and talking to mm-hmm. them, that, like, it really opens up this whole different, like, world of opportunities. And I think mm-hmm. that's something, like, even now, even having a career and, like, doing all these things, I still try to think back in my mind, it's just, like, I just gotta do it, try it,
yep.
like, stop beating myself up, yep. or what if it doesn't work out, or, you know, you're not gonna know until you just try it.
Yep.
And
yep.
if it doesn't work, then try yep. something else. But yep. I think a lot of people just, like, live their whole life being scared of just trying.
Yep, for sure.
And I don't know. Sure. It's just, yeah, and some people live their entire lives without even, like, giving that a, you know,
well, a chance. I think the, you know, the performing comparison is perfect, because no matter what you're doing, whether it's music, maybe you do plays, maybe you screw around with stand-up or improv. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're on a stage doing that, like, you have got to own it.
Yep.
Or it's garbage.
Yep.
You know, I mean, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're doing,
they'll be able to know. Yep.
They'll know if you're half-assing or whatever. It's there, you know. And
I remember thinking that. It reminds me of being on stage, because I didn't like talking to people. I didn't like being up in front of people. But mm-hmm. when I put that guitar on, I could be up there in front of hundreds of people,
mm-hmm.
and it does not bother me. Like,
right.
I had something that I was doing, and right. this was the world that I was in, and I just did it as much as I could.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about anybody out there that was watching, what they thought. I mean, we played shows in front of 2 people and 1,000 people. So it's like, you know, that... Now thinking about it, like, using that mentality in the world of stuff we're doing now, you know, like, starting your own business, pitching stuff to other people, you're like, just, you have to just do it, just be in that world and just do it, you
know? I know. Yeah. Like, I tell people all the time, because I do, like, public speaking and have spoken in front of tons of crowds, and just bartending and doing all that stuff, like, and training people how to do it, you know. And it's just like, don't, you know, coming from, like, the performance perspective, it's mm-hmm. like, just get out there and start talking. You know what I mean? Like, don't think about it. But I guess I never thought about it that way, because that's really kind of what you got to do when you're making moves in life, is mm-hmm. just like, well, you can freak out and hear every, what they call in communication studies, vulture statements, mm-hmm. which is just like, you suck, don't do this, they're going to think you're an idiot, you're an asshole, don't make that, don't do that, don't show that to anybody, because you're going to look like a dick. Yep. Well, half the time, nobody's paying attention. And the other half, they're probably going to be all right.
And the ones that are paying attention enjoy it, or, like, want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly. Right,
yeah. And they're listening to the good stuff, yeah.
But that was a big lesson for me. It was just like, yeah, you know, don't worry about it too much, because you're not, it's not going to be in the newspaper, mm-hmm. so.
Right.
But anyway, so you, So it was successful. You get the job.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. First time I had a salary job.
Okay.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Damn, they hooked 40, you up with a salary.
Yeah. Like, this is sweet. I can actually, like, provide for my wife, you mm-hmm. know, because the goal was for her not work when we had a kid, you know, for her to not work, and I would need to have some sort of career, you know. Great.
Yeah.
Well, that had happened, so we had our first kid. My wife is a teacher, so she stopped working and then raised the kid, stayed at home, and we were in an apartment. But I had been doing this now maintenance manager job,
mm-hmm.
and that had been growing. We started a multi-million-dollar remodel that I was helping head up for the building, and just learning a ton, you know. Just, I could do whatever I wanted, I felt like. You know, just, oh, you don't know how to mess with HVAC? Great, go ahead and do it. You know, see if it works, and if it doesn't, we'll hire somebody out to fix it for you, you know, or right. whatever. So I'm like, this is awesome. They actually sent me to school for HVAC to get certified, which I did terrible at, because testing and all that stuff.
And it's probably a lot of electrical.
Yeah, there's electrical and it's, you know, gas and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. No. Like, yeah. Flashbacks to high school, you know? Yeah. But actually, funny, I tried doing EMT classes one time because I was like, it'd be fun to be a firefighter. Well, yeah, you have to go to EMT class. Well, I go to EMT class and I'm doing all that and, like, sucking at the test. Any of the, like, written stuff, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just terrible at. You know, you get the body in front of me, I'm doing a trach and all that stuff on people, on the dummy.
Right.
And I'm like, this is easy. But I could not pass the other
stuff. Yeah, because as an EMT, yep. you would have to report to right. the emergency room yep. and tell them all yep. this stuff.
Here, write it all down, and all, you have to know all the lingo, remember all the... And I'm like, okay, this is not for me. Like, I'm out.
Dude.
So anyway, I stopped doing that. But so that kind of, you know, brought back memories when I was doing the HVAC thing.
Right.
And I'm like, the teachers are so rough, you know, because they're just old dudes that have been in the industry forever. And they're like, yeah, just figure it out, man. Like, I wouldn't be with you out there in the field. And I'm like, what do you mean, dude? Yeah. You wouldn't be out there. I'm taking this class and paying for it. Yeah. So you're here to help me.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I just felt dumb. And I'm like, and still never
That's a teacher misbehavior, yeah, right there.
Exactly. But like, I never felt this, like, still never felt that I was even doing the thing that I liked or what I wanted. I was just doing the thing that I just fell upon. I knew right. I had these skills. I could fix stuff, remodel a house and stuff like that.
Paid but the I'm bills, like, but yeah, it wasn't yeah, like,
I was just doing it.
Fulfilling you yeah. as a person.
Yeah. It was 9 to 5, you know, yeah. typical job. Benefits were good and stuff like that. You know, you're starting to develop a family
mm-hmm.
and that feels good. You're making money and
benefits
whatever.
Benefits are important.
Yep. So then we bought our first house, which was a, you know, cheaper house that I was I had to fix up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which was crazy because we bought it like the week before Christmas and then my whole family came to stay and I had all
At the
this
house?
Stuff. Yeah. And I had all this stuff to fix beforehand. Oh. Like, it was crazy.
Oh man.
But, so anyway, yeah, we had the house, I had the job, you know, the wife and the kid, and we were, you know, it was all right, but still paycheck to paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like 2 years into the thing, to the maintenance manager job, old friend of mine started a production company over the last couple of years, and it was progressively getting better and more successful. He had hired a couple people, had a bunch of people working for him.
Which company was this?
Jordan Green Productions.
Okay.
Which doesn't exist anymore, but that's later on in the story.
Sure, sure.
But, so yeah, he's like, dude, I need an editor. I need someone to come do video editing. Like, you're pretty creative. You could probably figure it out.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about, dude?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do that. Well, at this point at my job, I was like totally losing it, man. I just like felt like I could not be alive and it would be okay.
Right.
Like I go to work in the morning and I don't like it. I'm there. I feel like I'm not really doing stuff anymore. And I go home and I'm like tired and cranky and whatever.
Mediocrity. You know,
like, exactly.
We'll get the best of
Seriously.
Us. Yeah.
It just sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, maybe this editing thing could be all right, you know? Well, right when he had asked me to do that, another friend of mine who had been managing an apartment complex, they were deciding to move away from that. And that job was to manage the complex of two buildings, but live in the house or live in the apartment complex for free.
Right.
So they pay you a couple $100, you know, and then you get to live there for free.
Sure.
And I'm like, hold on. Maybe I can quit my job.
Yeah.
Maybe I can go live in this place for free and manage this apartment and do the video editing thing. So he
That's what you did?
That's what I did.
That's awesome. So,
I'm like,
where was your wife with all this?
She is
Long
all
for the
about
ride.
Do whatever.
She knew yep. you weren't fucking she knew, around. Yep. She was like, yep. You gotta do this.
Yep, she
you're
did not.
Cranky.
Exactly.
You're not you know,
yep. She's like, I want you to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't care about money. Like,
yeah.
you know, let's just give it a shot. You know,
sure.
it's scary, of course, but you know, I'm like, we're going to rent, put our house up for rent got somebody to live in there right away, like the same time that all this stuff kind of.
So you know, either way, you saw the, like, steady money coming.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so awesome. Yeah, I put the house up for rent.
I can talk to Missy. I just see if we can do something
like that. Just Airbnb it for half the year.
Yeah. Airbnb, man. I'm on that board right now.
Whoa.
But yeah. So like that kind of started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 4.5 years ago, I think. Might have been 4, but I can never remember.
Wow.
But like 4 or 5 years ago.
So not too long ago.
Nope, not too long.
And he's still living in that apartment.
Not today. Nope. <I'm> But
wait. So when you were managing, you said it was 2 buildings?
Yeah, 2 buildings, yeah.
Do you ever see any funky shit?
I
mean, as far as like...
Yeah, there was some crazy... I mean, it wasn't like a high-end place, so there was some kind of crazies.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
But they had like...
I'm trying to remember,
like,
but...
3 feet of water, like, I don't know, some crazy, you know.
Well, we did. The day we were moving out of there, actually, there was a flood in the basement because the pipe froze on the outside and just dumped into there. We're, like, dumping our stuff out.
Oh.
But there was, we get complaints about people smoking marijuana down the hall, you know, we smell it. You know, there's an old lady that lived there forever.
Yeah.
You know, so she'd complain about everything, call the cops, so I'd have to go there, you know.
Oh, my God.
Manage that stuff.
And, we smell marijuana. Well, do you like the smell?
Dude. Yeah. I kind of like it, but whatever.
Yeah.
But,
I had a buddy that did that, and he was at a, it was an interesting area.
Yep.
And it seemed like every time I hung out with him, I only saw him here and there, and he was just like, oh my God, this fucking apartment. Like, you know, a couple cat ladies, a couple hoarders, you know, stuff like that. Yep. You did have a hoarder. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hoarders come up a lot on this show. Dude. We talk about that a lot. I don't know why. It just all roads lead back to a cluttered house, but.
I had to go into every apartment every month. And change their filters.
Oh, sure.
So I'd go into all of them, and there was one particular one down on the bottom corner basement, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy and his wife, they had, I think I had a kid, but they never wanted to be there when I came. And they'd always have a note on the door that said, we're in the middle of cleaning. Well, their bathtub full of clothes.
Oh.
Besides their bed, just trash everywhere.
Oh.
Like, you could just barely get to the toilet. The shower in the master bedroom, because it was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, full on junk inside there, trash bags full of junk. There
so was a path. Nobody's rinsing off in this apartment.
I was like, these guys aren't cleaning themselves. They're not cleaning their kids. Like, I don't know how these people survive.
Man,
seriously, dude. Like, and then, you know, I had to, you know, I'd tell the company, like, the owners of the property, like, we got to kick these guys out.
Yeah.
You know, but they pay rent. You know, I guess they work or whatever, but like the people above them were complaining about, you know, mice all the time and
bugs
all the time. And I'm like, I guarantee you it's because of the people below. Yeah. I couldn't, we had to, you know, hey, we're going to kick you out if you don't clean up a path to your air handler, because I had to get in there to the furnace.
Yeah.
To change the thing, and half the time I couldn't get in there.
Oh,
we even had a bug guy come every once in a while, and he'd have to spray inside, and he's like, I'm not going in there. That's when we need you in there, dude.
That's
like,
why bugs
crawling up the walls. Like, yeah, like you know, so that was kind of a weird experience with those people. But
so interesting.
But yeah, other than that, it wasn't terribly crazy.
Oh my God, back to Josh Fu, because he helped out on a...
Hoarders, yeah.
Oh, that's course. Right, yeah, that's right.
He helped out on a hoarder shoot.
Like, actually, like, being a...
He was like a
PA.
PA, yeah.
Yeah.
So with this timeline, does this mean that you had your other son around this time?
Yeah, so we had my second son, who's 3 now. Like, was he there for a year? No, I don't think... It was just under a year we had him at that apartment. And we were in a 2-bedroom, you know, and we actually, there's this big closet in there that was like big enough to fit a mattress in, like a kid mattress.
Yeah.
And we actually put him on that.
Absolutely.
For a little bit.
That's babies.
I've had adults. We know, once again, when I lived with Ryan, I moved out of there, and they had a couple of guys move into that apartment, yeah. and one lived in the closet.
Yeah, yep. I had a buddy that lived in the closet.
Hey, it works. He's a grown man.
I mean, what,
grown
they're man. Just going to sleep there. The exactly. Thing, like, who cares?
I thought it looked kind of nice.
Yeah.
Honestly. Exactly. It looks cozy in there.
Yeah, we don't need big rooms and crap.
So, so with the editing, like, what were some of, I mean, I would imagine that some of your first, like, projects were going to be, like, wedding shoots or
exactly. Yeah. Home So home they videos. Actually just gave me, like, a wedding that they already did. And they said, here, learn the program. Here's some YouTube videos.
Right.
Figure it out and show us what you come up with. So I was like, all right. So I went and bought a computer, put it on a, you know, a Nebraska Furniture Mart card.
Been
there. You know, a screen and all that stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for, you know.
Yeah.
I did my first wedding and I was like, I kind of like this, you know, like.
Which program did you use?
Final Cut Pro.
Okay. Yep. Oh, wow. Yep. Jumped off.
Final Cut Pro.
The expensive one, yeah.
That's right. No training wheels.
Because that's what, they were using in there.
Oh, sure. So they're like, you got to get up to speed. So,
they gave me the program and all that. And right. So here's some videos on how to do it. And their production, post-production manager at the time, that's like, he was like the Final Cut guru.
Oh, cool.
And, so I turned, you know, gave them the edit, and they're like, "Yeah, all right, sweet, we got some more edits you can do. Here you go.
Nice.
Why don't you start coming to the studio? And we got a desk here. Just start working there." And then eventually, I started getting better and kind of being the guy that does the edits more.
Sure.
And then I started going on shoots. You know, learning how to use the camera. He taught me how to use the camera.
Was there a moment where it just totally like smacked you in the face, like, this is it, or this is where, or still hasn't even happened?
Yeah, not even there, man. Like, because I was only like making $15 an hour, you know, I was didn't know what I was doing, I was still learning, and you know, he was running the company, had all the stuff, I was just a peon that was basically learning how to film, set up lights, and.
That's an awesome olive branch, though, man. Yeah, that's a great olive branch.
Seriously, I mean, it's all that stuff, man. I appreciate the dude a ton for helping me learn all that, because I wouldn't know the stuff I have now,
right?
Or know the stuff that I know now.
I think it's beneficial that you, beneficial from my perspective, like going into editing before you start shooting, because you have so much better of an idea of like what to do,
exactly,
and you're not wasting time. Right. That's like like I said earlier off mic, Brandon and I tried to do a little video thing last weekend, and we were just like, no, we don't, you know, and it was like lighting, you know, and I'm like, well, I'll just clean this up and post, throwing around lingo and shit, you know, like, because I've made some iMovie stuff, but not
went outside and the lens like got all foggy because it was too hot.
You get brought out.
There was a giant towel that just crashed on the ground and I just went home.
Yeah.
But so when you started learning gear, like where did that start out as far as like equipment wise? Did you just jump right in with the big?
Yeah. I mean, he had a Sony FS700 with like a sweet, you know, 4K external monitor, which we still wish we had at now, which we don't, but you know, we use different equipment. But, like, he just had some cinema cameras that he used. I didn't really get into the photography side of it, which they were using Canons.
Sure.
You know, 5Ds and 6Ds and stuff at that point. But, so that equipment, I had no idea what the stuff was. I'm like, what? Aperture? Like, ISO? Like,
yeah, dude.
Frame rates and like I had no idea what anything was, man. Like even in the post part of it, luckily the post production manager Matt, he like was super helpful. I mean, he was like the best teacher I've ever had. I always say like if he wasn't there, I for sure would still not be where I am.
Because, patient.
Yeah, patient. Yeah, man. Like is this again? You know, showing us over and over all the time. Like dude, just do that key command, you know, like I told you, you know, so
okay.
30 times.
Nice. Exactly. But, you know, all that stuff, man, I was just absorbing it, absorbing it the whole time. And eventually like the studio manager at that point left and I started doing that role. So I was you know, setting up shoots, getting all the gear together, making, you know, spreadsheets and stuff.
Yeah.
Where we turn in the footage and all that, capturing all the footage at the station and then moving it to the edit bays and giving it to the editors. And
so this was like a decent sized outfit.
Yeah. I mean, we had like 10 people
okay. with us. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And like, you know, between subcontractors, employees, stuff like that.
Right.
And at that point, I was still a subcontractor. I technically was an employee.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm just doing as much as I could, going on wedding shoots, going, you know, editing anything, you know, help meetings and all that stuff. We were just going crazy.
Wedding shoots.
I was going to just say that same thing. That sounds super stressful to me. It just seems
dude.
I mean.
I don't like doing them. A lot of people like doing them. I would rather shoot a wedding than edit it, though.
Oh, okay.
Because you're just, I don't know, there's something about it that's, it's not easy, but it's, I don't know. I'm doing something. Because I have a background in, like, maintenance and remodeling stuff,
mm-hmm.
I tend to like that, like, the shooting aspect more than I like editing.
Sure.
Because I just get antsy sitting at the computer. You know, I got to get out and hold a piece of equipment and do something. You know what I mean?
Right. Talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. I was at a wedding last year that my friend was shooting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a drink. You want one? No.
But it's a huge stepping stone. I mean, like.
And there's tons of money in it, too. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's, well,
weddings constantly happening. I mean, you create a whole business just doing it.
Why I was kind of giving this dude a hard time, his name's Zach Hollowell. He might be listening. What's up, Zach? But just dealing with, like, mothers of the brides and you know, the whole thing, it's got to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I think that would be kind of tricky.
Well, yeah, that's
especially after the fact, if they're pissed with the product, right, like,
which I've never had to, like, I've only done like two weddings where I was like the main videographer. Most of the time I was just like the secondary one. I didn't really have to deal with any of the clients at that point. So like, I didn't really see any of that, you know, and more on, they did photography and videography.
Okay.
So a lot of times if they were both on the shoot doing both things, the photographers are the ones directing everybody, getting everybody together, you know, as the videographer, you're not really doing that as much besides you're documenting the whole thing.
Right.
Unless you're specifically a, like, they want a cinematic slow motion walking down the whatever, you know?
Right. Right.
Like, And then you're doing a little more. It just sounds stressful.
Yeah, I've done wedding invites, and that was enough for me.
Dude, yeah.
Nice.
And the more money that people spend, the more picky they are. Of course. And,
oh yeah.
But
I just can't imagine. I don't know. I'm glad I had a tiny wedding.
Right.
Photographer was a good friend. We trusted her work, so there was no goofiness. Mm-hmm. But I've just heard stories of people, not actually from the wedding side, but from photographers. But so how long did you work with this? I'm sorry, what was the name of the outfit you were
Jordan
working with?
Green Production.
Okay, so you become studio manager, mm-hmm. writing spreadsheets. You're familiar with gear,
mm-hmm.
kind of putting people in where they need to be. I'm guessing at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, just helping out. I wasn't really too much authority over anybody, but like, you know, I'd make sure they had the things they had and all that stuff like that. But
so how long? So you said they're not around anymore. So.
Right. Yeah. So that was like 2 years. I think I was there for 2 years. So at that point, things started kind of mellowing out. Clients weren't coming as often, and I hesitate to talk about it because it was kind of a sucky situation.
Sure.
I was friends with him beforehand. And he was trying to keep me employed, but financially he couldn't have as many people and pay as many people.
Right.
Fortunately, I was one of the people he was like, I want to make sure you get paid, but we got to have work.
Yeah.
But once work started declining, he's like, crap, how can we create more businesses? He's got an entrepreneurial mind, smart dude. He's like, you have a background in making furniture and remodeling and stuff like that. What can we do there? Maybe I'll buy some equipment and you can maybe make like tables out of reclaimed wood that my father-in-law has out in a barn. And I'm like, I guess. Like, I need to make some money.
He's
I guess,
looking for bones to throw at you, man.
Right. So I'm like, okay, you know, so he set up the stupid thing in the basement. No ventilation. I mean, it was just the worst situation ever. But, like, we started, you know, making stuff, but priority was doing video. Sure. You know, so I was getting, you know, video work from the post-production supervisor who was like, dude, I needed to do these edits. But then I got, you know, the owner telling me, you got to be downstairs, man, like making stuff. And I'm like, I've been here all this time and, you know, working late. And I was on a shoot this night and making this thing that night and doing all this stuff and like going back and forth over and over. And
well, we need these tables by 6.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, you know. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm 100% on board with the table thing right now. Right. I'd rather do video.
As fumes are like seeping through the floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Like clients are upstairs meeting and I'm cutting stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
And like, the, you know, his wife was like, can you shut up like down there? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Okay. I got to wait until the thing's over.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, it was kind of a crapshoot. But,
yeah.
But, you know, and it didn't end very good. You know, we were texting each other and he had told me I'd said like, dude, like I don't even know if this is something I really want to do like as much. I'd rather do video, so how can we do that stuff?
And, yeah,
you know, he was mad because I wasn't there at that point doing whatever he wanted, and he just texted me and was like, hey, I hear Long John Silver's is hiring, which is funny, you guys did the Long John Silver's thing.
Oh, that's true.
Because my dad was managed the Long John Silver's his whole life.
No way!
Yeah,
this is
LJS.
This so funny, is the man. Universe, yeah. Man. Yeah. We are in the right spot, gentlemen.
So yeah, a little side note. Was my dad managed the. We came to Nebraska from Wisconsin when I was 5, but he was managing McDonald's at that time.
Okay.
And they had brought him here. I mean, like when. Being a manager at McDonald's was legit.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, he had a car, like a company car and stuff. Right. Like, he was, I'm like, dang. Well, and then it started declining. They were, you know, giving manager jobs to anybody off the street now. And so they didn't want to pay him. He was there too long.
Right.
So he got a job with Long John Silver's. And then he worked there for whatever, 20-something years or whatever.
God,
and,
that is incredible.
And finally, he just retired not too long ago.
But what's anyway, his name?
Dennis.
Dennis. Congratulations,
but, you know,
Dennis.
Worked hard. You know, we were lower middle class.
Yeah.
Lived in Millard.
It's a hard job.
And he's just always worked and worked and worked, which is where I got my
work ethic.
Work ethic. Yeah. So I'm like, I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
But I, you know, with the owner of the production company, we were friends. We would talk about things. Man, I don't want to be like, no offense to my dad, but I don't want to be like him. I don't want to work at a grocery store my whole life and whatever. But this thing only records like half hour, then you have to redo it. Stupid photo cameras. But
we've been going for close to an hour.
Yeah, close to an hour.
So but you can edit like all this stuff out, which would take forever. Sorry, I have kind of a long spiel.
No, you're good.
You're good. Podcasting. You're good.
But so yeah, so we would talk with each other. Like, I don't want to do that, you know? Like, I don't want to work at a restaurant. I see how demanding it is. And, you know, it doesn't get treated well and doesn't make that much money.
They're not appreciated. Like, and that's the thing that I really try to make a focus.
Yeah,
if I'm going to go out to eat, like, I know the cooks, the waiters, like, whoever, the hostess, everyone, like...
Yeah.
Well, speaking as a lifelong... service industry hound,
dude.
We appreciate it. Yeah. You know, it does suck, but you're right. It's hard to have a family. You know, that's why I don't do it anymore because you're not home.
And well, and they don't. Yeah, and you know, he's not getting paid. He's expected to work ungodly hours, never home. You know,
with
and
a bunch
he's
of
kind
dumbass
of
kids.
Exactly.
You know.
Yep. That yeah. Seriously, and they
pain in the ass kids.
I mean, the amount of times he's gotten hit, and you know, Long John Silver doesn't pay their employees very well.
Sure.
You know, so
I believe
he's,
it.
You know, $8 an hour, $9 an hour now, I think it is.
Man.
And, of course, turnover is every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I'm going to jail or whatever, you know, like how many times he's had to, like, he's even giving people rides, you know. We've got a million stories about my dad doing stuff, getting, like, literally getting robbed at gunpoint at one of the stores that he was at once. I'm like, why do you still work here?
Oh.
You know, but mentality, older mentality. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to work hard at it. I'm going to do well, and I could be a light for some of these guys.
And he loves those hush puppies.
Just loves those hush puppies, and baby. Crispies.
Man, I'm all about those hush puppies.
They were good, chicken though. And the shrimp.
Delicious.
I freaking loved it. They had wraps at one point, like these, and they were good. Then they got rid of them.
I'm a follower, man.
You wrap any of that in a tortilla?
Seriously. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's excellent.
They actually tried the store that's on 108th and L. They tried, like, making it cooler. So they, like,
dulling it up a little bit.
So they, like, redid the whole logo and the outside of it and started serving stuff on, like, real plates and doing dishes and stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. And, like, alcohol and stuff at this place they were serving.
It's weird. Omaha is known for, I mean, Qdoba did it. Yep. Panera's done it.
KFC did it. KFC.
Yeah. They do a lot of those test things.
Yeah, they're like,
but they'll legit, like, build a whole building.
Yeah. Because, they remodeled the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, but the mentality is like, well, as far as KFC is concerned, it's like, well, we're going to take two fried chicken breasts and, you know, put some cheese and bacon in between them, and
make a sandwich.
We'll give them to those Midwest fat fucks
because
they'll eat most of anything. Yep. It's just how much will they eat?
That's right, it. Right,
the
right.
test is not will they eat it. No. Yeah. They passed that test. It
probably wasn't smart to do the store like modern because most people here are just like, I don't care, just give me food. You know,
yeah, give me some sweaty green beans.
Especially Long John Silver's, like, they're not changing the menu.
Right,
I remember
when,
like, Chick-fil-A, like, anytime they open a new Chick-fil-A, you get, like, Chick-fil-A for a year if you're the first person.
Yeah.
But then they'll literally be, like, 300 to 600 people just, like, camping outside.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's so sad.
Exactly, like, dude.
I think there's 300 people camped out Chick-fil-A's every day anyway.
I know, man. That's so
it's insane.
Crazy. But, like, they treat their employees well, and they know how those to run their stores, man.
Those people are happy.
Yeah,
I have never encountered happier people.
Mm-hmm. Go to the one at Mutual Omaha. But,
but
the other ones. Like,
well, that's true, but they're probably dealing with miserable mutual people all day. Yeah, no offense, Mutual of Omaha, but I'm sure sitting at a cubicle all day and somebody fucks up your chicken salad, you're going to let them have it.
Exactly.
Brandon.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I can see where that one would be bad.
So things fall out.
Well, yeah, so we ended, you know, our relationship there. And at I kind of felt like I was the straw that broke the camel's back with everybody else that was working there.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was like, are you kidding me?
Right. Like, you're leaving?
You no.
Oh.
Like, this sucks. Like, are you, why does still he do here, that?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I got you. Know? Okay.
So, like, throughout a couple, within a couple months, everybody else was kind of like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then things unfortunately didn't work out for him, but it was good news for me. Well, at that point I didn't have anything to do. I'm like, I don't have enough experience to go work at another production company,
right?
Like, I could go work somewhere cheap, you know. Luckily I was still living in this apartment, so what I did was I just went back to remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, I'm gonna remodel houses, make some money, you know. I know I can do it, and it's good money. I can make money at it. Well, but a guy I met in the process, he was an older dude from the church that I was going to,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, hey, I heard you lost your job. That sucks, man. Like, I'm doing handyman work. Do you want to team up? You know, let's get some coffee. Talk about maybe doing something together in the remodel world. And I'm like, all right, dude, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's take an opportunity, I guess. Like, I don't have anything else I'm doing right now. Like, I don't know where to get video work. I don't have any equipment. I was doing everything air, you know. What am I going to do?
Oh, yeah, you didn't have any air on gear.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shit. Still had the computer, though.
I had the computer,
yeah.
So I could edit stuff.
Yep.
But nobody giving me footage anymore. Right, you know, right. Like, hey, anybody want to give me your stuff? Like,
right. Okay.
But, so I was like, great, let's do it, you know? Like, now that I've learned this whole world of, like, self-employment, entrepreneurial, like, you know, for the 2 years I was working at the production company, that's all we talked about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know it existed. I was doing the normal job for so long that I'm like, whoa, this opened up a whole new realm. Like, oh, I can actually get insurance without having a job.
Yeah.
I can actually, like, start my own business. I can charge people for my talents. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy.
Market myself for free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? So like, I did that. I started my company, a remodel company, Omaha Remodel Services, I called it.
Cool.
And I branded it and made a website and joined up with this older guy who I thought was supposed to be helpful. That turned up not being helpful, but more of a pain than not. But so I started a remodel company. I did that for like a year. I was flipping houses with a guy that would buy them and do all the design work and stuff, and I would kind of collaborate. I was getting some of the design, you know, aspects through doing that and getting a lot of work.
Cool.
Taking pictures as much as I could remember to do.
Yeah.
But I still didn't love it.
Yeah.
I still didn't like doing it. So funny part is the production, the post-production manager, Matt, that I worked with at the production company, when he quit over there, I said, I need somebody to help me do remodeling. Like, I just need somebody to be my assistant or whatever and just help me. He's like, I don't know how to do that stuff. And I was like, perfect, dude. You taught me how to do editing. I'll teach you how to do remodeling. Yeah. Let's go. You know, he has a wife and a kid and a house, you know. Actually, he didn't have a house at the time, but I was like, let's go, man. I got plenty of work. Let's do it. You know, my first year of doing the remodeling thing, I net profited $300,000.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is crazy, man. I'm like,
not bad.
People are paying me $30,000 to remodel their kitchen and their bathroom, you know, like all this stuff. I'm like, all right, this is great, you know.
Let's get into
seriously, remodeling. No, I wasn't making that much money.
I'm just kidding.
Personally, because I would be hiring it out, you know. You got to get the drywaller, because unless you're going to do it all yourself, it would take forever.
Wonderful world. You got to subcontract
everything out, man. So, like, and I, you know, probably paid too much for people because I really wanted quality. And I was little, I didn't know too much about, like, how much to charge or, you know, still learning how to do that.
Those are murky waters, man.
But, yeah, it's hard.
Those are murky waters.
Hard, dude. It's hard.
Contracting.
Yep. And I'm like, And so many people are doing it for so much cheaper. So I'm like, I got to have good quality, which I was doing, and be able to charge more. But I still was undervaluing myself because I didn't realize I could charge more. I didn't value myself enough to know.
So is this where it comes full circle, where he is now who you work with?
Yep, exactly. Yep. So the whole time, me and him are remodeling these houses, and we're just talking about, man, we got to video stuff, man. We got to start our own thing. Like, let's just try to work some clients in it. He was still working, like, doing some edits now and then, so he wouldn't come to the job site for certain things because he'd have to do his thing.
Right.
So while we were doing that, he started Midland Pictures, which is the company that we run now.
Okay.
And I still had a bunch of remodel jobs that, you know, that we're finishing out, and he was started getting some more work, and we're like, let's just go full at it, man. Like, can we make the switch to going from remodeling full time to video production full time? How can we make that switch? Well, we got a client from a contact that we knew who said, hey, man, these guys want video. I used to do video at their place, and I'm leaving. They need video. Can you guys do it? Sure. Well, yeah, totally. We can do it. You guys got cameras? No. Like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So anyway, So actually, the church that I worked at, they were a big piece in this whole video thing for me, too, because as I was doing the video stuff more, I started getting involved with the video stuff at the church more.
Okay.
And getting to know a lot of those people in that world more than I was doing with the others, you know, the maintenance side of it. And
it's a nice little pocket of potential clients.
That's right.
You know, exactly. Congregation seeing your work.
A lot of people, yeah. And so I would just go there, and they were generous enough to just, like, let me borrow their gear.
That's cool.
And, you know, help
out. You built up some credibility with
them. Yeah,
yeah. They're like, he's not taking
exactly.
you to the pawn shop.
You're not going
to
sell it, yeah.
That's DJ.
Yeah,
we know DJ.
Yeah, we know him. I mean, you made the whole key system for the church. Yeah, I think you can trust him. But So yeah, they were a huge part in like me learning more about it, you know, getting my hands on gear.
Yeah.
And so they were actually selling a cinema camera at that time for way cheaper probably than what it would have been sold for. Yeah. And so I said, we'll give you, you know, $1,000 and then I'll edit a video for you if that's cool with you guys. Oh yeah, great, great. We want to get rid of this thing. That's fine. It's hard to sell, whatever. So that's how we got our first camera.
Okay.
Matt put up the money. I did the edit, you know, so we're like, sweet, let's do it. We went and shot. We barely even knew how to do production as much as...
It sounds like our friend Ben Allen, like, we bought a printing press from a friend of mine. Yeah. I went halves on it with him, and now he literally still uses that press to make his income. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's weird how those types of things just fall into place.
Yeah.
Where...
It's a crazy path that led to all this stuff, but, you know, we got our first camera because we knew we couldn't just have the editing portion of it.
Right.
We had a couple clients where they were just sending us video and he, you know, Matt was getting overwhelmed, so we had me, and then we set up our, you know, edit stations next to each other, and I built a desk for us, and, you know, we're in his basement of his house, and once we got a camera, like, it opened more doors.
Sure.
Like, oh, you guys can come shoot interviews now. You can come shoot B-roll. You can come, yeah.
Maybe do a podcast. Exactly. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot Omaha Talks.
So that was like a year ago when we officially started the company.
Okay.
And, you know, we were, I don't even know how we got clients. I mean, we just told everybody what we did, and we just reached out to anybody we knew because we were like, this is it, you know.
Sure.
Because at that point, I had moved out of the apartment complex during my remodel phase. Because so I'm like, real, I'm making money now at the remodel thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to live here anymore. We're sick of it. Another kid, you know, we had another kid at that point.
Yeah.
We got to get out, so we moved into a house, and then the remodel thing, I was like, decided not to do it, and now I got this house mortgage, you know, and I sold my rental property to get into this house, so I'm like, oh crap,
dude, your wife is super understanding.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm a little spontaneous, you know, and I'm the same way. Yeah, like, yeah. I got, my heart's got to be in it, or I'm just such a miserable little bitch in the free, you know, like, exactly. I just dread, you know,
everything perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So there's got
to
be like,
our wives need to hang out with your wife.
Yeah. And not ever hear that comment. Yeah,
I'm terribly blessed with her. I mean, I hear about, you know, everybody's, how we got to do this and what is your deal? Or, you know, like, you can't just quit your jobs and do all that. I mean, she's literally like, the most like, go with the flow, like, do whatever. I got the kids, I'm good,
right?
Like, what, we can eat, you know, ramen for all I care. Like,
yeah, there was just a lot of it, like, in my situation, there was a lot of trepidation of me leaving the bar and going back to school and like finding something that I like to do, because I kind of had it with that stuff, you know, and it's just like. It's like, you know, doing a couple job interviews, being like, you sure you're going to do this? Or are you going to come home in a month and like hate life, you know? So,
Missy's just always telling me, like, I'm just doing too much. I want to do too many things. I got too many ideas.
Yeah.
Well,
that's how it works sometimes, you know? But, this is where we get to the portion of the show where, you know, you get to talk about what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Midland. What do you guys have going on? Yeah. Where can people see your stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's the deal on that?
Yeah, so our focus now is businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a couple weddings, and now we're doing commercial businesses or commercial clients.
Cool.
You know, internal video, stuff like that. It's not terribly exciting, but, you know, like, we did Sharon's video because that was kind of a passion. Like, we want to... A lot. We thought of all the cool things, like, that would be sweet content to have. So we did something like that for her for free,
and it's great. And we did a couple other anybody things. Listening, you can see that video on, I'm sure, Sharon's Facebook page. But really, really cool.
I think we might have it on our page too, MidlandPictures.com.
Okay.
And but yeah, we've been like, you know. We're still learning, like, you know, we're still trying to find clients. We're still working with other places in town. Like, last year we had guy in Canada who sent us all of his weddings from last year and just said, edit them for me.
Nice.
Like, I shoot them, you edit them.
Cool.
Like, okay, great.
Isn't that weird how that works, man?
I don't know how we got that.
The world is so connected, dude. Yeah. And that guy had combed through a bunch of people and stumbled upon your guys' stuff and was like, oh, no, I like this one. You know?
That'll work. Yeah, that's price is good, all that, whatever.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, and if people are interested in employing you, they can contact you through? You said MidlandProductions.com?
Yep, Midland Pictures.
Midland Pictures, excuse me. Pictures. And then as far as like, do you guys have social media pages?
We got Midland Pictures, Instagram, Facebook.
Sure.
And then Matt and I also operate our own personal brands because we believe in like building our personal brands now. And like this last 6 months has been like a crazy shift in our mindsets from like, how can we use our personal brand to build our business brand? And
Gary Vee and Casey Neistat. Casey Neistat too is insane. Like,
I knew about Gary Vee like 3 years ago when I was doing production company, and I was like, he sucks, man. Like, all he does is just pissed and like telling everybody talking into a camera. Suck, man. Like, what the heck? And now, literally, I listen to him all the time, and I'm like, this is the most positive, encouraging dude I've ever listened to, and he motivates me to no end.
That's a paradigm shift,
and man. I'm like, this is so awesome.
Yeah,
like knowing that and going that route and just doing what you love and just putting it out there is so much better
with these like massive vloggers like the Paul brothers or Gary Vee or Casey Neistat, like that is something that I don't think anybody saw come, you know. I don't think anybody saw most of what's happening now coming, but that is a particular strange phenomenon to come out of all of this, you know. And it's not going away.
Like, Casey Neistat from washing dishes and buying a iMac years and years ago to edit some film, to then him and his brother having a thing on HBO, and then now literally all he does is vlog, but sold like an app to CNN that's just now closed, but it just has fed everything he's done. It's insane.
HBO is always on the top of shit.
Yeah.
HBO is always on top of shit.
They buy stuff when they know, man.
They do. They see it.
And that's how Gary Vee got to it, you know? He's done the same thing.
It's crazy.
You know, they see what people they're watching, other people, you know.
Gary Vee was his family owned a wine business for years, and he put it online and it blew up.
I mean, doing
wine videos and stuff. So it's all started from wine, but now he's like this entrepreneurial, like traveling the world,
multi-millionaire media company, sports.
He wants to buy the Jets.
It's like he's got this crazy mission, you know, and this mindset to do it. And he just, every day, you know, his whole thing is maximizing your hours.
Sure.
You know, that you're doing your thing. He's like, it doesn't have to be 18 hours like I do. He's like, it could be 8 hours. But how are you honestly maximizing those 8 hours in your day? You know, or that you're actually working towards your goal, you know?
There was one video that he did where it was this woman that, like, knocked on his car window and was like, Gary Vee, like, tell me something inspirational. Yeah. And he's like, you're going to die. And then it was just like, but then it's like, fuck.
That's so you better deep. Get to living.
That's like really deep. Yep. Like, you're gonna die. So like, take advantage of that and do something with your life. Yep. It was just like, whoa.
You know, I have moments where I really, and I guess I'm kind of in a weird phase right now, not sleeping a lot, but I feel like I'm not being productive enough, or you know, owning a house, like not working on it. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of think to myself, like, well, maybe you should sit down now so that in an hour, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. You won't, like, it's tricky. Mm-hmm. You got to get it going.
You find the time, I don't know, like, all work, no sleep. Yeah, it's because, like, especially when you have a kid, like, it was like, as soon as those kids are sleeping, I'm on my computer. Yep, as soon as you guys leave, I'm going to sit and work for like 2 or 3 hours. Yep. Like,
I just don't have quiet work with the kids sleep. I mean, you know, well, you both know. It's just like, well, the kids asleep. I'm going to tiptoe.
When they're little tiny babies.
You do it, and then you fall asleep because, you're exhausted.
Right. So much TV.
Yep.
It's disgusting. Yep. All right. Well, DJ, dude, great to meet you, man. Glad to have you. Hang out with us and do this. Super excited. As I stated earlier,
Hopefully this video isn't complete garbage, but we'll see. Not because of DJ, but because Parker and I are boring.
No, I was going to say, I started doing a vlog on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel called Hey, I'm DJ.
Sweet.
It's just that, my name, DJ Hornacek, but watching like Casey and all these, you know, other vloggers coming up and just seeing how that is fun.
Yeah.
Like my whole goal isn't to be like, I want to make millions doing a vlog. Like I just want to make stuff that I like and put it out there.
Right.
And I've never done that. Like I've never put stuff out there because I'm always afraid that I'm going to fail or suck or people are going to make fun of me or whatever.
That's those vulture statements,
and
man.
Like, yeah, man. And yeah. Like, and that's one thing Gary says a lot too, is be the loudest voice in your head and, you know, tell yourself all those positive things and not worry about anybody else around you. Like,
it was such a big statement. I don't remember who told me, which is upsetting that I don't remember who told me this, but creating stuff for yourself is the best. Like, don't worry about everyone else though, because typically when you do it for yourself, there is other people out there that want to see those types of things.
That was me, man. That was me.
Oh yeah, it was Parker.
Full of wisdom. Yeah. No, that wasn't me. I just live by that because, you just have to.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah, and that, it's funny, like, even sitting here talking to you guys about this stuff, like, I was always the quiet one in school. I never talked. I never, like, was vocal about any of my opinions or anything that I thought. And the second this kind of world came, was open to me about, like, being better, doing what you love, being able to raise my family. Like, I don't like to toot my own horn or whatever, but like, I'm, you know, a lot of people are scared. I always tell younger kids this, like, that just have gotten married or they have a full-time job that they hate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I've done it somehow. Like, yeah, I'm not making millions, but I have a house and a wife and two kids, one on the way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making videos. Yeah, sure, I have to go do some handyman stuff here and there.
But you're not curled up in the fetal position, exactly. Like, sweating tomorrow. Exactly. You know?
I wake up and edit or shoot a video or talk to people or go to coffee, like, hang out and learn as much as I can.
Yeah.
And try to be as good as I can and film myself and just try to learn all these avenues constantly and not get yourself stuck in like the world, like forcing you to buy the house right away or buy the sweet car or have the kids or get married. Like,
tell Missy about the riding lawnmower though.
You gotta have a riding lawnmower if you have a house though. It's like mandatory.
Yeah. Don't pay attention to the status quo.
But like, I right now in my life, I'm trying to figure out how to sell my house again.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get out of my house so my expenses are less, so I can do, while I'm still younger-ish, like, the stuff that I am good at and what I want to do.
Yeah.
Until I can make that jump, you know? I wouldn't have bought my house if I had this mindset a year ago.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago, I guess, is when I bought my house. But, like, it's just a total mindset shift, man. And I just want to tell as many young people, like, you can do it. And because I've had these situations where I basically hated my life and I hated high school and I didn't have any future in mind, like, you can get out of it. Like, you don't, that is not the end all be all. Like, don't do something stupid, man. Like, don't ruin your life. Don't, you know, it's just, as much as I can, that's my biggest, like, I don't know, what I want to do now is just tell younger people how to be okay.
Well, there's a lot of people that, like, grew up, you know, like yourself, and I feel like myself, that, you know, I didn't really have that voice. Yeah. There wasn't that. And we've talked about this on the show before, too. Like, I didn't have, there wasn't somebody that was like, oh, you don't have to worry about this stuff.
Right.
You can go do your own thing.
Yep.
You know, it's not about this and, you know, this, that, and the other. Like, and just kind of as like a final thought that I think is really, really important is, you know, there isn't like throughout the whole time that you're telling us your story, DJ, and this is kind of the story that we've heard from a lot of other guests and stuff that we've experienced, is like, opportunities are not going to knock on your door. It's not going to happen. You have to be engaged with people. If there's something that you want to do, how many contacts did you have, you know, situations that were people that you knew or that you were connected in the situation? Brandon, I would say a good chunk of your career is on, you know, like, especially freelance, you know, is on people that you knew. Myself, like, as far as like working in restaurants or playing music, always, it was never anything somebody showed up, hey, why don't you come outside and play? Never. You always have to go out there. So, which I think is probably really hard for a lot of kids that don't feel like they don't fit in, or if they just haven't quite figured themselves out yet, you know, and that's probably the hardest thing for them to do. Like you said, you're the quietest kid in class. Now you put a camera in front of your face and talk and broadcast it to the world, you know? So it's just, I just think it's important. Anybody listening, especially, you know, mental health, everything that's going on right now, you know, it's not the end all. Your shitty job is not defining you.
Shitty job, friends, relationships, whatever it is, like
nothing is permanent.
Control it. Yeah, you are the control of your destiny.
Yeah, and but that doesn't mean stand up on the counter and pee on the desk and tell everybody fuck off, because then you're not gonna eat for a while. You gotta eat, so just schlep through that next six hours.
Be nice, love people.
Be nice, they'll give it back. Yeah. But so everybody look forward to more video content presented by our friend and guest DJ Hornacek. You guys got anything else?
No.
I could talk forever about more stuff. But
yeah. Well, there will be plenty of opportunities. Thanks for checking in, guys. And we will.
Thank you. This is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
To see how this goes.
Absolutely.
How unprofessional it is, but
it's going to be great. No, great. Well, we're not about profession. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll check in with you. Next week, hopefully. Bye.
Okay.